Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, June the 18th, 2017.
I'm still Mike Swanson. I'm the co-pastor here at Grace. It's my privilege to welcome you this morning. Grace Baptist Church is a redeemed community who gathers, grows, and goes by the power of the Holy Spirit and for the glory of God. And we are very glad, whether you regularly attend here or you're visiting this morning, we're glad that you're with us here this morning. We want you to feel welcome. There are a number of additional announcements and things in the bulletin, so I ask you to look at that. Matt referred to the 4th of July invitations, and this is what they look like. They're out in the lobby, so please do that. We need volunteers, as he mentioned, as well as we would love to have you invite your friends and neighbors to come be with us that day. And we're looking forward to just a wonderful time as we do that. Also in your bulletin, we have an information card. If you are visiting with us, we'd love to have you fill this out, give us some information about yourself. We'd like to let you know more about Grace Baptist Church and different opportunities that there are for you here. There are some plug-in opportunities that are listed on the back. On Wednesday nights, we'll be doing a number of different service projects and other things that go on each Wednesday and other times of the week. And so if you're interested in that, would like to help out, please take note of that. There's also an opportunity for you to fill out any prayer requests, things that may be going on in your life that you'd like to have the staff who meets each Monday for this specific purpose to pray for these things. Fill that out, put it in the offering plate as it goes around, put it in one of the boxes, the drop boxes that are out in the info center, or you can give it to one of the ushers as you're leaving. And we would love to pray with you about those things going on in your life. As we get ready to get started this morning, please bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this opportunity to meet. We pray that as your word is opened, as we share in singing and worshiping you, that you would draw us closer to you and make us more like your son, Jesus Christ. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Church, would you join me? Would you stand with me? And we're going to praise the Lord together. As we prepare our hearts, we read to you from Psalm 86, verses 8 through 10. Let the word prepare the way for us. Lord, there is none like you among the gods, and there are no works like yours. All the nations you have made will come and bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name, which is what we're seeking to do this morning as we pray together. For you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God. Verse 15, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's worship him this morning as we sing this classic, How Firm a Foundation.
Thank you.
Moment. Thank you for this time that we can worship together. Father, we just want to keep moving in the flow of what you're wanting to do in hearts and how you're wanting to glorify your name this morning. So we pray your blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I think I'm coming up now to introduce the offering. So we want to have the ushers come forward here and continue in our worship. So many times we think that the time that we come to offer, to give back what is already the Lord's, we think of that as being a break in our worship time or something like that. But this is a time of worship that we continue, not just as we listen to music, but as we recognize that all of the things that we have that so often we consider ours, which goes far beyond our finances of how we do that, those are God's things. Those are blessings that are given to us that we have the opportunity to steward and to allow back into his kingdom purposes. And it's from this so much goes forward to take the gospel around this church, around this community, and around the world. So this is a wonderful time of worship, and that's why we celebrate this time. So let's pray as we prepare to give. Father, I do pray that we would recognize that here we are worshiping, and we are worshiping by recognizing that you are in control, that you provide all things for us. And so as we get ready to take tithes and offerings, Lord, we pray that we would recognize that and that you would take this, multiply it, bless it to go forward and to spread your gospel, that it would go out into the world and bring you glory by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Lisa. Lisa's always really, really good with playing anything on the piano, this time in particular, because she's actually had several extra months of practice, because it has been on the docket two previous times for her to play that, by request, I think, from Doc, I think it was. And in those two previous times, we had some reason we had to cancel it, usually last minute. And so she is just, I mean, there's power there. Like, I'm ready to play. So that's good. That's real good. Well, happy Father's Day, fathers. Hopefully you guys all recognize it is Father's Day, a great time, and I hope you've had a wonderful breakfast made for you, or you were just left alone and able to sleep in a few extra minutes. How many of y'all got wonderful new ties today? Anyone? Anyone get a terrible new tie today? Okay, no one's admitting that because our kids might actually be around. I do know we've got a couple of first-time fathers in here, and so you may want to find them. We had some come in from out of state. Where are my first-time fathers? Like, this is your first Father's Day. Oh, yeah, we got a few of them sitting around. I know, I knew we had the Atecas up here as well, so we got a few of those, so that is exciting. It's a fun thing to do. We forgot to mention that, I think, for Mother's Day, but that's exciting. So make sure you go and check out those new babies. There's other ones floating around that are just all kinds of wonderful and floating because they're in their diapers, I guess. So there we go. But it is great having all of them here. I want to go ahead and have, if you are a father, ever have been a father, you're almost a father, any of those things, stepfather, foster father, any of that, go ahead and stand up. We just want to recognize all of you. Fathers are wonderful, and I look forward to talking more with fathers today. We want to recognize fathers. When it comes to Mother's Day, we try to give you pretty things. When it comes to Father's Day, we try to give you things that will eventually kill you. So, because that's what we like, right? That's the fun stuff. So, it is our tradition. You got the RC, you got the moon pie, and we have the peanuts, which, okay, honestly, that was a new thing for me when I got to Chattanooga, putting the peanuts in your RC. That's, is that weird to anybody else? I try it anyway. It's good stuff, right? All right, so check that out. We've got those for you after the service. I don't care what game is on later on. You got to wait until we're done, and you can go out there on tables out there. That's for all of our guys, 18 and up. You can grab those. We also got for you a keychain today. We've done that in years past, and I think some of the previous ones are out there as well. And so you can go and take those leather-bound keychain just to help you remember today and just to say, hey, thanks for being great dads. How many of y'all have great dads? Yeah. Wonderful grandfathers and great grandfathers around as well. So thank you, fathers. Let's pray for our fathers. All right, Father, I do our heavenly Father. Happy Father's Day to you, and we pray that you are glorified today, as you are our ultimate Father. And so we pray that you, that your glory, your goodness as a Father is reflected in fathers here. But God, we pray today that our fathers all here are honored, recognizing the incredible task that you've given us and how you supply for us in that. And so let's pray that today would be a wonderful time of celebrating dads and all that they mean in our lives, and a great blessing for them. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. He said, please. I don't know what he said. I think he was saying, one more time, Pastor Kelly. Is that what you're saying? He gave the little please sign there. So today is going to be your favorite message I've ever done, simply because it starts with cuteness, right? That's how we go. So get set up. You ready, bud? You want to preach today? Well, this is one of my favorite things to get to do with our little guys. So I want to invite you into our home, okay? Normally we do this with a bottle, but he's too old for a bottle, even though we give it to him anyway at nighttime, right? Yeah, this mommy over there, she's got the bottle, right? She holds that for you. Okay, let's pray. No, we're going to pray. Okay. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This is why we give him a bottle when we pray. Father, I do thank you for this incredible little gift that is in my arms. Lord, we pray that you, of course, Lord, we ask that you will make him ours very soon. And God, we recognize that even once he becomes ours, he's already yours and he continues to be yours. So God, we pray that you will very early in his life lead him to accept Jesus as his Savior. And God, I pray that it will not just be something early in his life, but that he throughout his life, his young days and into his older days, that he will worship you, that he will pursue you passionately, that he will press on to know you, and that you will use him mightily for your kingdom. And God, I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, make Judith and I the kind of people that can lead him to do that, to be that. God, that you will just use this little boy for your glory. We thank you for this gift, and know that he's yours, and he's yours for whatever you desire for him. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. There you go. We got that part down. All right. There you go. Thanks, babe. Bye-bye, buddy. Say bye-bye. Okay, here we go. We're going to get real cute. Hey, bye-bye. There you go. Yeah. That made me cry. Yeah, that was pretty good right there. You needed the bottle, didn't you, bud? Yeah, that helps a lot. Well, that is pretty much how we pray together before he goes to bed any night, before he goes, goes down for a nap, or if we're driving in the car, that's kind of our normal prayer with him. I pray those things, and we start out with the Lord's Prayer just because I want to focus on how the Lord taught us to pray and teach him to pray in that same kind of way. But more than anything for our little boy, my desire for him is that I want him to know God. I want him to enjoy God. What do we see in Hosea? That the prayer there, the desire for the hearts of the people is that they would press on to know God. And I want that for every bit of his life. And I recognize that this child, so we're in this unique position where he is not actually, legally our child yet. But we have this understanding, but we recognize too that even once all the paperwork is signed and he is officially ours, that he's still not really completely mine. It's not like this is some child that is here to adorn our household or anything like that. But he belongs to the Lord. And so as I pray for him every night, I realize that for those things to happen in his life, it's not that this is the only way it happens, but really, I've got to be the man that I want him to be if I'm going to lead him to be that man. And that has been extremely convicting for me. And it's become a great part of my prayer every night as I just prayed here, is that the God will change me. And so in that conviction and in praying these things for Sean, it has helped to kind of hone my prayer time, my own confession, to see my sin, because I start to recognize things in myself that I don't want to be in my little boy. And so it has brought conviction as well. And so being a father has helped to sanctify me. Part of the time, because being a father, I think even I've done this for 18 months now. It's not been very long. Actually, 18 months today we got him. And it was a wonderful, wonderful day. But even in those 18 months, I realized too that there are things that are frustrations in fatherhood that bring out some of those character flaws that need to be changed. And so being a dad is helping to sanctify me. The thing is, I'll never be everything that I want him to be. And he's not going to be perfect. He's not perfect now, and he never will be as much as I love him. And at least, we're not going to be there completely. And parenting it's a lot of work. And I get it. I'm sitting here, 18 months I've been in this thing, right? And I'm already saying this. Some of you have been parents longer than I've been alive. And so you get that. I mean, you really know that the parenting is a lot of work, and it's kind of meant to be that way. And here's the thing. Especially new parents. So my folks in here that are brand new parents, even less time than I've got, you guys know you're going to screw up, right? You're going to fail as parents. How many parents out here? Is there anyone here that has never failed at parenting? I'm setting up to get some hands out there. That's right. Will Fedeleon has never failed as a parent. And apparently Mike Reese said that I'm calling you out, Mike. That's right. Mike Reese. Okay, how many of your parents have never failed as a parent? Mike, I want you to look around. You've got both of your kids here, and neither of them raised their hands on that one, right? No, parents, we are going to fail at times. That is just it's a part of parenting. And thankfully, there is grace. And as I fail, Sean can learn from my failure too. Those can be wonderful lessons. I don't want him to have a lot of those lessons, you know, but those are going to be lessons for him. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit does amazing work. Because every one of us, if we are here and, you know, serving the Lord, it is in spite of our parents' failures. And also partly because of the things that God did through them. Remember what we've seen here, that God's love is relentless. He is not going to give up on me as a dad. He's not giving up on you as a dad. He's not giving up on you as a mom. Today we are talking about parenting to go. This is part of this kind of life to go series, life on the go, how we do just things that come up in life, things that are a part of our lives, and how we use that to go. And remember what go is about. It's about being missional. It's about being gospel-centered. You might call this gospel-centered parenting or gospel-centered life. But what we're really talking about today in particular is raising kids to go. That we have on our minds, as we're raising a kid, intentionally thinking about how we raise these children, not just to follow the Lord, but to lead others to do that, to send them out on mission. Because ultimately, again, these are not your children, ultimately. In the same way that you are not my church, right? Now, there is a sense in which you are. The Lord has given you to me as my church to shepherd. And that is a wonderful thing that I'm excited about. I hope at least a couple of you are, right? But God has given you your children to shepherd and to lead and to steward. And that is a huge task. It is a difficult task. And so God has also set up his church, that's the big C church, the universal church. He has set up his church to help you. And we're going to talk about how we do that as a church. And I want to make sure, too, because some of you may be already ready to check out, because on the screen it says parenting, and a lot of you people here are not parents, and so we think, I can check out, this message is not for me. But it is. I want you guys clued in, because people without kids, you're not exempt from this. Our children are watching you. Before I had a child, other children watched me. I was involved in other children's life. And so you can and you should be involved with kids and being a part of the church and being involved in their lives. It could be through teaching a class. It could be mentoring and discipling. It could be in things like VBS or student ministries or even in our grace groups. Those are intentionally intergenerational so that other people can be involved in your kids' lives. And we want to bring other people in. People see just these children, even if you're not involved in those ways, they start to see how you live and interact and worship, and it makes a difference in their lives, even if you are not their parent. There are some families, too, that are broken. And because some families are broken, we need someone to come alongside. And so you may have spiritual children that you never even anticipated having. All families need other people to come alongside their kids that are coming along and bringing that same message to our children. Because I know something I've learned in you know, a decade in student ministry that I think all parents know is this crazy thing. Like, you can say something to your children, especially as they get to be teenagers, and your children think, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You have no idea what you're talking about, mom or dad. And then they go in and like their youth pastor or their small group leader or just some other adult that they respect says the exact same thing, could use the same words. They're like, man, that's brilliant. I am going to take that into my life. I've had parents just sit with me dumbfounded like, I said the same thing. What? It's just how it works. So everybody, whether you have children or not, this parenting stuff, this is for you because we all live together. We work together to raise these next generations of people who will go out and continue to spread the gospel, continue to bring God glory in this world. And we are today, we're just barely scratching the surface even of the passage that we're looking at. There could be a sermon on, probably a sermon series on every point that we're getting into. But I want to show you today that we as a church are committed to building God-loving families here. I go beyond just this message that we desire, even outside of what we see here this morning, we desire to help you as parents and to work together to grow up this generation. And I want you to understand, too, I get it. As I have just said here, I've been a parent for 18 months. I've had a lot of experience with teenagers, and I was talking to one of my former youth pastors just a few weeks ago, and he's got teenagers now. You guys ever just kind of sit and think, man, I can't wait until my youth pastor has teenagers? And I asked him, I said, Brian, hey, man, So do you think that being a youth pastor prepared you more for having teenage kids? He just started laughing. And no. And there are a few things that he understood that, hey, they're going to need other people in their lives. But he said, nah, man, it's totally different when they're yours. So I don't want any of you hearing today that Pastor Ben is getting up here and talking and telling us how to be parents because he thinks he knows all of it. I know nothing. Right? I've figured out a few things along the way, and so what's really happening here today is I've studied a passage, I've looked at what other people are writing about this passage, and just kind of studied some truth, and it's really helping me to realize some things that I need to focus on as a parent. And so this is kind of my message to me, and everybody else can be a part of this, right? Which that's really most Sundays. I never get up here and say something to you to say, hey, listen, I have nailed this. I am getting this right in every way. Most of what I'm talking about is stuff that I need to hear, that the Lord is working on in my heart already. So that's where we're going today. So let's pray as we move into God's Word. Father, I do thank you for your word, because this whole thing of parenting is so crucial. We even refer to you as Father. You are our Father, and so we want to learn from you, and we thank you that we can learn from you, from your word, about parenting, about raising up children, because it is so important, and it can be so difficult, yet so joyful. And so I pray that today you would help us to do that, that we would celebrate dads, and that we would grow as dads, as moms, and as people who come around families to kind of, as a church, raise up a faithful generation. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, see, the first thing here is that families, that gospel-driven families gather. And we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I mean, this is kind of the quintessential parenting passage that we see here. It sets up so many things. We're going to start in verse 4. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." This is what is called the Shema. It is central to the Hebrew faith. It is central then, because it's central to the Hebrew faith, this is central to our faith. If you do this, like if you ever just come to church and you think, I wish the pastor would just say, hey, do this thing and you're going to be fine. Boom. Here it is. It's this passage. If you do this, and to the extent that you do this, you are living exactly as God intended. To the extent that you do this, you are not sinning. Right? So in whatever it is you struggle with, stop doing that and do this and you're going to be right. And all this is saying is, in everything that you do, basically do it for the Lord. You should love God with your being, with all of you completely. Every law, every commandment, every principle in the Bible is wrapped up right here. Love God with your entire being. See, sometimes we even start talking about priorities. Love God first, and then you know your spouse, and then children, and church, and these kind of things. No. We're getting that wrong. Love God in all of these things. The way that you love your spouse, the way that you love your children, the way that you work, and everything you do, it is driven by your love of God and your desire to know Him and to press on to know Him. And so to the extent that you do this, you are keeping every command that God has given. This is what you were created for. And here's the thing. This shouldn't be a burdensome thing where we're like, oh man, that sounds terrible. It should be a joyful thing, because this is where you find joy. If you want true joy, I'm not talking about these worldly pleasure kind of things. If you want true joy in your life, this is where you're going to find it. Love God with your entire being. A lot of what we were saying and looking at when we were doing the Galatians series and talking about legalism so much, a lot of that was really just about getting the order right. That true obedience flows from loving God. It doesn't go the other way around as so many try to make it. I'm going to do these things. No, we do these things because of who we are and who we love. And so here as a church, we are a redeemed community. We gather, we grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. The gather part of that, this is what we're doing right now. We gather together to express our love to God. For one another, yes, but especially for God. That's what gather is about. And that is where we come together to express love for Him. When we share it, it's the heart of who we are. And so as your pastor, my job is to shepherd you and to lead you to love God with every fiber of your being. But if I'm not doing that, if I don't love God that way, to the extent that I'm not loving God that way or pursuing doing that, eventually that's going to come out and you're going to figure it out. It's going to be really hard for me to get up here and just in daily life as well, to try to lead a congregation to love the Lord and pursue Him if I'm not doing it myself. And fathers, you're kind of like the lead pastor in your family. And your wives, yes, they're partnering with you in this. And where does Moses start out? In this passage here in Deuteronomy, where does he start out? He starts out with the heart of the parent. All of these commands that are wrapped up in the Shema, they shall be on your heart. We don't go to these next generations yet. We're starting with you. It's on your heart. And so if you love God with all of your being, odds are, it's not a promise, it's kind of a proverb, but odds are if you love God with all of your being, your kids will as well. It just happens for generations to come. This whole thing just kind of goes from one generation to the next and to the next. I was at a funeral this week. I went up to Charleston, West Virginia Thursday, came back Friday, did the funeral on Friday. It was for my great aunt Charlotte. And so we were just spending a lot of time while we were there talking about family. And I actually heard the conversion story of my great-grandfather for the first time. And so my great-grandfather, he was a moonshiner. I love the Dukes of Hazzard, right? So that's, I come by it honestly. And so, and moonshiners, that's where NASCAR started. So this is all in my blood. I finally get it now. So, and they were in West Virginia. So, I mean, you kind of assume, yeah, he was probably a moonshiner. Everybody there is, right? So he was a moonshiner. He and his brothers used to ride on their horses down to, I believe it was Fisher Memorial Church. They were Methodists, so I got some Methodist roots here, right? They would ride down to Fisher Memorial Church to make fun of all of the people there, especially during their kind of invitation times. They would sit outside the church, make fun of them as they were coming out, make fun of them inside and their revivals, these kind of things. They go down for a revival one day in particular. They're going in just to make fun of the people. My grandfather, Hobson Davis Fisher, goes down the aisle to make fun of all the other people who are going down the aisle. He gets down to the front, and the pastor comes up and just starts praying with him. His brothers start hollering. They're ready to get on back to make a moonshine, whatever it is. Hey, come on back. It's time to go. He said, no, y'all go ahead. There's something happening here. He trusted in Christ that day. Went on to lead a church, to take a church that was in incredible debt, that was suffering and failing, and led it to be a church that to this day, even though there are still some struggles in the church, thankfully we're seeing some incredible things happening there starting out now, but the mission of the church is doing incredible things to serve this community still today, and he started there back in the 30s. Is that still happening? His daughter, my grandmother, she married a guy that didn't know the Lord. And so my great-grandfather led his son-in-law to know the Lord. And they led my father to know the Lord. My father led me to know the Lord. And I really hope that one day that I do get the privilege of leading my little boy to know the Lord. If it happens to be one of you, I'm totally cool with that. That's fine. But I would like to have that privilege myself. And so these things, they just go on for generation after generation after generation. If you don't love God yourself, you might be able to fake it for your family for a while. But eventually, it's going to come through. They're going to see where your heart really is. And dads, any parents, if you are not loving and leading your family to love God, someone else is going to step in and fill that gap of teaching them who to love and how to love. And if it has to happen, we hope and we pray that it's the church, that it's a godly person that is stepping in to fill that gap. But a lot of times it is going to be the world that steps in and takes that place. Or your kids, maybe it'll be that your kids do follow you. And they follow you away from the Lord. And the sin patterns that are in your life, those things carry on for generation after generation after generation. We want to be active in leading our kids to the Lord. A little over a week ago, we saw both sides of this happening as we were at Mega Sports Camp. We saw several boys that were even just in and around my group. I was working with a basketball group. That I saw them having shirts that said, RIP, rest in peace, and had a picture of their father on them. And it was just heartbreaking to see these guys who were losing their dads, and their dads were really young, and a lot of them were losing their dads in all the gang violence that we've seen going on in Chattanooga over the past couple of years. We saw these little boys whose fathers loved the world, who loved themselves first, and they chose a lifestyle that led to death. Some of these kids had dads that never manned up to actually be their dad. They may not even know who their dad was. And so you got these little boys and these little girls who just watch the guys on the streets and in their projects, and they see the way that they're living. And I don't think I've ever been so heartbroken for children in my life. And just seeing these kids who have so much anger and so much fear. I've been to third world nations and worked with children in orphanages who have vastly more joy than any of these children, and yet have even less than any of them do in, as far as worldly possessions. Some of these kids are ready to fight over nothing, thinking that's the way things are supposed to happen. They're constantly afraid and angry. They were skeptical that we weren't there for them, that we were there to get paid or to get publicity for our church, because they hadn't experienced love. And it certainly wasn't all of them. There were a handful of them that we saw that with. But we can also tell that they craved love. And then they softened, a lot of them, as they began to see that we actually loved them. And had some of the hardest kids coming up at the end of that time and saying, can y'all just come back next week? Like, well, no, we actually have to work too. You know, there are a lot of things we do, but we want to continue this partnership and continue to invest in these kids. But we also saw there on the other side, we saw parents, we saw adults, we saw teens who were serving because they love God. And because they love God, they love his people. They loved people. They loved because they've been loved. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've experienced in a church, is just coming together and to love on kids who, for some, they're hard. They were tough. Now, as we talk about this, that is a heavy burden to place on parents, right? To go and to lead by your life, to lead by example. But don't get overwhelmed. You are not in this alone. It's not one of these things that say, go and do this and good luck with it. We'll pray for you. We will. But Grace, we as a church, we are here to come alongside you. It's what we're meant to do. The parents, you are the primary discipler of your children. Caitlin Pollock, who leads our children's ministry, it is not her job to disciple your children. Kelly, who leads our family ministry, it is not his job to disciple your children. David, youth pastor, not his job to disciple your children. That is your job. The singles around here, it is not your job to disciple other people's children. All of this I'm talking about primarily. Now, for all of those I mentioned, we as a church, we come together to partner with you in that. But primarily, that is the responsibility of the parent. And we want to come alongside you. And that starts with helping you, as we see here what Moses is saying. It starts with helping you to love God. And that's why we come together in worship and we preach God's word. We proclaim his truth. That's why we have discipleship relationships, discipling relationships. That's why we have men's groups and women's groups and these kinds of studies to help you grow. That's why we have events specifically targeting helping you to grow in your love for God. We also provide parenting training just to say, hey, listen, we got to work on your heart so you know how to do parenting. Things like My Grandma's House, awesome things happening there. And that's not just for people who have struggled in parenting in ways the state has had to get involved. That's for all of us, because we all need to grow in our relationship as parents. And so we want to train in that. We'll have some other training coming out as well. And you can be praying for our staff as we are working on a system to kind of put together to help train parents specifically for every phase of your child's life. We are here to help you. But it starts with you. So do you have a growing love for God? We are ready to help. You just got to reach out and kind of step into those opportunities. And of course, parenting, it's not all about you. It's not just, okay, get your heart right and it's all going to work out. Gospel-driven families gather and grow together. Starting in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently, so these same truths, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Hasidic Jews take this really literally. Have you guys, anyone ever seen like the Hasidic Jewish people that will actually have a box on their head that contains writings in them, and then another one on their wrist? But I don't think that's exactly what we're going for here specifically. And so parenting, it starts with you. It starts with your love for God. For us as a church, it starts with our love for God. But that flows into growing children. And we see that happening here in this passage in two specific ways. And the first of those is teaching, with what we actually teach them from our mouths. See, I love to talk about my wife. I love to talk about Sean. And I love, I mean, my goodness, I mean, I was with family this week. A lot of them haven't met Sean yet. And so I'm showing pictures and videos. I have them on FaceTime and everyone's just oohing and aahing. They pay no attention to me. And that was fine with me. And yes, you might have noticed I do like to talk about cars on occasion as well. But here's the thing. The thing I actually do enjoy talking about the most is God. You get me going. These conversations just go on and on and on. I cannot even begin to just tell you how much that's my greatest passion, my greatest joy is talking about him. Why do I talk about Sean? Why do I talk about Judith? Why do I talk about God? Why do I talk about cars? Cars on the far lesser end. I love them. I'm passionate about them. I don't love cars in the same way. I do like them. What you are passionate about, what you are most in love with is going to be on your lips. And so if God is on your heart that way, it's going to be what you want to tell people about, and that's going to include your children. And so as parents, your responsibility is to teach your kids intentionally, not passively, but intentionally teaching them to love and to obey God. God's truth should be just constantly on your lips so that you can make the most of every teachable moment. My family kind of gives me a hard time because with my nephew in particular, this one nephew, I kind of, when I see him in sin, I tend to just kind of give him these little mini sermons. I'll pull him up on my lap, although he's 10 years old now, so the lap thing isn't happening so much anymore. And I just start talking to him about God's word and how it addresses whatever it is that he's doing. And my family makes fun of me, but it's just, I'm trying to show him truth. And it's not just about what we want from your behavior. I want you to love the Lord and obey him. And here's why that matters. And I've started doing these kind of things with Sean, and he just hits me anyway, and that's just how it goes, because it's just funny, right? But listen, I want to teach them truth at every turn, and that includes discipline, too. And that could be the hard part, because you guys realize that your job as parents is to make your children holy, not to make them happy. Holiness will lead to joy. Happiness leads them to being spoiled. We learn in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. We see in the book of Proverbs and so many other places that fathers, that parents are expected to discipline their children for good. That's a part of your job. You don't do it out of anger. You do it out of love. Paul tells us that dads are not supposed to provoke their children to anger or provoke them to any kind of thing like that, because you don't want to discourage them from doing good. You don't want to discourage their walk with the Lord. You want to encourage it. So in all that we do with our kids, our goal is to point them to Christ. And so with Sean, I mean, I intentionally, I pray with him, and then before that, we usually read some books. And so we intentionally try to fairly often read good Christian children's books to him. It's a series that we just got for him. I've given all of ours away, so we ordered another one called The Big Thoughts for Little Thinkers. And he's probably a little young for it, but they're wonderful, just teaching on truth for little children. And so we'll read those kinds of things to him. And other stuff too. I still like Green Eggs and Ham. It's wonderful. I'll read that one to him, right? And then we'll sing hymns with him, you know, just because we remember those things and they're sweet times. But we're intentional about that kind of stuff. I've done the same things with my nieces and my nephews and just enjoy that. Judith's mom, she was taking her kids to school, used to do Bible memory, scripture memory with them on their way to school every day. I've got kind of this in my mind, just this whole series of car analogies that I can use to relate working on a car, restoring a car to the gospel, just to loving the Lord. And I cannot wait for Sean to be under the hood with me. He's already started bringing me tools and parts as I work on things, and rarely ever the right one. But still, I look forward to those times of getting to share those things with him. And I suppose I'll survive if he doesn't like cars, but that'll be okay. But listen, it goes beyond just the things that we say. The second way that we grow kids in the love of God is by modeling for them. I'm not talking about, you know, dressing up and doing these things, but just the way that we live in front of them. I can talk to Sean all day long, and I can tell him that he's got to love his mom. I can say, Sean, you got to respect women. You can't hit mommy. But if I don't do it, if I don't respect Judith, he's not going to listen to me. He's not going to respect her. If I yell at him every time that I'm frustrated, he's going to have outbursts of anger. If I'm harsh with Judith, I'm teaching Sean that marriage, that life in general is just all about himself, and he can go out and he can be selfish. if wives are constantly, you know, Judith is coming to me and just picking at me or nagging or any of those kinds of things, trying to control me, it's going to emasculate Sean. And he's going to think that that's just the way things go. They're never, and you think about, you know, the little girls, they're never going to learn to, you know, the boys are not going to learn to lead their families. Girls are going to learn to point out weaknesses in other people to get their way, and same with little boys. But I will tell you too, for all the flaws that I've seen in my parents, I think about my dad, and he talks so much more himself about his flaws and his failures, but what I remember most about my dad is that I constantly saw him on his knees in prayer, and I saw him in the Word, and I saw him involved with church no matter what else was going on, and that has led me in such a huge part to be who I am now, to have the passions that I have now. We go back to VBS, our Omega Sports Camp, and we saw kids fighting. We saw boys hitting little girls, and we saw people cursing, and we saw them bucking authority. And where do you think they learned that stuff? It wasn't all the kids, of course. And we saw kids from all of these different areas, each different group that came in there. We saw kids who were respectful and helpful and kind and encouraging. Where do you think they learned it? What do you think the difference is, most likely? We had a lot of teens that came in particular, and several of them caused some trouble, and we couldn't let them come back. But we had this one kid, Dante. He was by far the biggest one of them. That dude, I mean, arms like this big. I mean, he was just this big guy. He could have taken anyone out there, but he was the most humble and the most helpful guy that we had out there the whole time. He helped to bring other guys in line, and he learned that from someone. Someone taught him to be different than everybody else because he lives in the same community with those kids who were fighting all the time. I will admit that I was worried myself about some of the things that some of the Grace kids were hearing and what they were seeing from other kids, and I was afraid the parents were going to get mad and not want to bring their kids back. You know what actually happened? Parents used the opportunity. They found teachable moments. They told their kids, hey, you know what? Sometimes ministry is dirty. And you're going to get out there with people who don't know truth like you do. They taught them to show, in those instances, to show grace and to show mercy and to show compassion for people because you don't know what it is that they deal with when they leave that place. Listen, discipling kids, that is a huge task. But Grace is here to partner with you. We have things like Sunday school and Awana and VBS and our camps and all of these kind of things, all of them geared to come alongside you in discipling your kids. We have the Grace intergenerational groups to bring generations together on purpose so that it's not just you as parents, but they get to see these other people interacting over Scripture with you, to model for them. So you, not just parents, but all of you, are you intentionally discipling future generations? Because that requires a little bit of a different outlook on kids, because gospel-driven families gather, grow, and go. Verse 9, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If you kind of look at the Shema, what happens with that, the most devout Jews, and actually all over Israel, they'll take these things very literally. They go, if you go to a home or a hotel of devout Jews or in Israel, and you're going to see this little thing that looks kind of like a pipe that has the Shema in it. And it's a reminder to everybody who enters that place that this home loves God. And that should be really obvious for your family, that when people see your family, when they see your children, they should say, these people love God. And so we can't start here. We don't start with, okay, it just goes out everywhere. It starts where? In your heart, and it flows out to your children, and then the community sees this, and the world sees what is happening in your family, that you love God, and they are impacted by your family with love for God. Your personal love for God overflows. It flows to intentionally teaching and modeling for your kids, and that flows out into mission. We tend to think of our kids as ours, but they're not fully ours. They belong to God, and your responsibility, our responsibility to help you with as a church, is to steward them. Because when we think about kids as being ours, we think about them as being, you know, here for our glory. That's when we start living vicariously through our children and putting extra pressure on them to make us look good. Your children are not here to make you look good. They're not decorations. They're not clothing. They're not furniture. That's not what they're intended for. Psalm 127 says that kids are like arrows in a quiver. Blessed is the man who is full of them. And what are arrows for? They are for warfare, right? They're meant to fight the enemy. They are meant to be sent out. That's what you do with arrows. So you can't just think about your lives and their lives in this world for our kids. We got to think about the internal impact. Beyond them, we have to think about the eternal in every way that we're raising them and guiding them. And that's why I pray that God will use Sean for his glory and that we will be able to raise him to do that. So it's not just, oh man, go be something that is worldly successful so you make a whole bunch of money. It's fine if you do. The Lord has that for some people, but I want them to be used by the Lord in whatever way the Lord desires. And we don't have a lot of archers today, so you might think of kids as like keys going out to unlock the chains of sin. And so that's why men today are getting, you know, anyone 18 and up, you're getting these key chains. And so that every time you use those, you get the RC and the moon pie too, but every time you use those kids, you might be reminded to pray for your children. And I realize that is not a great illustration, but I wanted something here, and Fred had already ordered the keychains, so I just kind of threw that in there, so just go with it, okay? Listen, a lot of times we tend to think that our job is sheltering our kids towards safety, that we want to protect them from the world in every way. But our real job is shepherding our kids toward a mission and toward what the Lord has for them. We do. We want to protect our kids from any harm, from any contact with the world. And to an extent, that is a wise thing to do. But we also need to prepare them and train them and shepherd them toward a mission. And so that's one of my favorite things that I saw at Mega Sports Camp at VBS. Because, see, like I said, I was a little afraid of what kids were experiencing in some of those groups. But with some excellent parenting, I saw those kids being discipled. And they grew rather than being corrupted. In Grace, we are committed to offering Go opportunities for all ages. We just had our family mission trip to D.C., and we had age range there just over one to much, much older than that. That's why we have VBS, and that's why we went off campus for that into a different area. We'll do other local projects and things where the whole family can get involved in going out and serving and reaching others. So are you guiding your family? Are you guiding other families toward temporal success or toward eternal success? And I know, again, this is overwhelming stuff, and it's very overwhelming for me as a new parent, but gospel-driven families gather, grow, and go in grace. Parents, aunts, uncles, people who work with kids, all of you, how many of you have just ever lost it with a kid and just totally blown up? Anyone? Did you completely lose any chance you had with them because of that? No, God gives grace and parents give grace too. There was a time my little nephew, he punched me right in the face, right? And I reacted very quickly. And he's old because he was old enough to know better, but I reacted too quickly. My reaction was appropriate in what I actually did, but I reacted in anger. And so I had to go and I apologized to him for that because I was quick to anger. And I think I even scared him. And so I had to apologize. But see, nobody here is a perfect parent. You are going to do something to mess your kids up, but there is grace. I was talking with Carmen. We had an email, Carmen Wolf. He was kind of talking about, okay, who are some great examples of fathers in the Bible? You know what? There's like one really good father in the Bible, and it's God himself. We came up with Joseph, too, you talked about, but there's not a whole lot said about him. And he's the father of Jesus. I mean, seriously, you don't mess that one up, right? Every parent in the Bible screwed up. Every one of them. They all blew it at some point. Abraham's son went and lied to a king about who his wife was, just like he saw his dad do. David, okay, what did one son do to the other son, do to the daughter, and then the brother did to the son? I'm not going there because we have kids in here, right? But there were some horrendous things that happened. And then he had a son who started a civil war within the country. And yet another one became a wise king. By God's grace, it's going to be okay. When we mess up, we admit it even to our kids. We admit it to the Lord and we grow. And sometimes that can be the best way that our kids grow, is when we go and say, I messed up. And they learn, hey, that wasn't the right way to do it, but here's the right way to handle it when you do go wrong. Even though some of the kids that we worked with at VBS were pretty rough, they were nowhere near beyond hope. But Satan wants you to think that you have messed up so bad that you just got to give up. We can't do that. Or he wants you to be so fearful of failing that you're going to be paralyzed and never start actually discipling your kids. And when you fail, we as a church, we are here to counsel you and to help restore you. There's not going to be judgment. We're going to be honest about your actual sin. We'll say that sin is sin, but we're not going to judge you. We're the church. We are grace, and we're here to extend grace. So are you letting fear or failure, or maybe even fear of failure, hinder your mission? We're going to be looking at failure specifically in a few weeks. Listen, my challenge for you as we head out of here is to ponder this week what you desire for your kids. What do you see the Lord leading them to? And start praying that for them, pray it over them, pray it with them. And if you'll do that, I am betting that the Holy Spirit's going to show you where your life doesn't line up with the trajectory that you have for your kids. And at that time, you can either give up or you can submit to the Holy Spirit and let Him change you. And maybe you're already there. You're ready. You're saying, I can't do this. I need God to usher me through this. And we as a church, we are here to help you. You can take that info card and just mark on there, just write on there, help me with parenting. I need help. And just put it on there with your contact information. Give it to our ushers who are going to be at the doors at the end of the service, or put it in the drop box out there. You can contact the office. We want to help you with parenting. But you cannot be gospel-driven parents if you haven't believed and received the gospel yourself. You see, God is the ultimate Father, the only one who does it right. And we are the ultimate rebellious children. We deserve to be separated from Him, to be kicked out of the house, to be punished, and yet He took that punishment for us. He took our sin in Jesus Christ. So that if we trust Christ's sacrificial death, His resurrection, that it's there to save us, if we trust that we are restored to be with our Father. And if you're not sure that you are a child of that ultimate Father, the perfect Father, but you want to be, or maybe you're not sure, you're not even sure if you believe it, but hey, I want to ask some questions about it. I want you to come in just a minute. We're going to do something different here at the end, but I'm going to be sitting up here. Just come and find me. Or again, you know, mark something on your info card and turn that in. We want to connect with you, but you've got to make that step out. We have been sharing, at least I've been standing up here sharing some of my reactions to the Mega Sports Camp a couple weeks ago, and I think that God has changed for us as a church, our thoughts on the gospel and on children, on what it means just to go, that it's not just these international things, but things that happen right here in our own community. And I think He's changed that for a lot of people here. And so we want to hear from you. And so I've tried to leave some time. I haven't left a ton of time here, but just for you to come and share how God has worked in you. And so we're going to sing. And as we are singing this first song, if you want to come on up, Kelly, get ready to lead us in that. We're going to have the microphone open. We'll start out with a quick video from Caitlin. But you can also come and find me if you need to talk about any of these things, just to start that conversation. So I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. And if you want to just share what God did in your heart, your family, your children through VBS this week, we'll have the mic open for you as well. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for children and for allowing us to shepherd these children toward you. And so I pray for each one of us as we do that and as we fail, that you will restore us. And God, that you would show us that our children are here to be on mission for you. And God, we thank you for your perfect example as the ultimate Father. And so happy Father's Day, Lord, and may you grow us as fathers, as mothers, as parents, and as those who come alongside to raise kids to go out for your gospel mission. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand and sing together.
I think it's an important reminder for us as we reflect on the things that we've heard today, that it is only by God's grace that we will be able to do what He has called us to do.
Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only by His grace. Every mountain we will climb.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these reminders, Lord, of the truth of your standard, what you've called us to. But Lord, thank you also for the reminder that we are not sufficient, that you alone are sufficient, that you will be in us everything that you have called us to be as we move forward with you. Lord, for the gentle reminder that we will fail, that none of us will accomplish this perfectly, but also for the reminder that failure is only failure when we cease to get back up and move forward. God, thank you that each of us in this auditorium this morning are testimonies of your grace, of imperfect parents, imperfect mentors, but those that moved toward us and loved us and gave us examples of what it looks like to courageously follow Christ. So, God, on this Father's Day, thank you for the reminder. God, help us to be intentional in encouraging those who have been mentors and fathers to us and examples to us. Help us to be intentional today in thanking and in deliberately recognizing your grace through them in our lives. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said, amen.
Good morning, Grace Baptist Church. I hope you all are having a great Sunday so far. I'm really sorry I can't be there today, but I just wanted to say a couple of things about BBS because all of you had such a big part in it. We had so much fun and very tired, but we are so thankful to the Lord for all that he provided and all that he did through BBS. It was really only through his power, and the Holy Spirit led us through every situation and everything that happened. I believe that God gave me this vision, this burden for our city about a year ago, and God saw it through. It was incredible that each one of you came alongside of me in this ministry, as some of, you know, some people were a little hesitant, but the Lord brought each of one of us together. The Hispanic ministry and the Chinese church and Faith United all played a huge part in this, and I am so thankful for each one of them and just the unity that was able to be brought through BBS. My heart is still breaking at times for these children, as I know that many of them don't have food, they don't have family, they don't have shoes. But the most heartbreaking thing is that they don't have Jesus and they don't know who Jesus is. I'm going to tell you a little brief story about a boy I met. His name was Kay Angelo. And he was sitting with his huddle group, and I was just kind of walking around. I saw him, and so I went over and sat with him. We were talking about music and things that he liked or didn't like. And then I asked him, I said, do you know who God is? And he said, yeah, yeah, he created the world. He created everything. And then he went on to say a few more things about God. And I said, yeah. I said, well, do you know who Jesus is? He said, oh, yeah, the boy in our neighborhood, I know Jesus. I said, oh, no, that's not the one I'm talking about. I said, the one from the Bible. And he said, no, I don't know who that is. So I had the chance right then to share the entire gospel with the Lord. And as the basketball game was about to begin, he said, oh, wait, I'm still listening. I want to hear what you have to say. And so it was just such a neat opportunity, and he didn't make a profession of faith. But I know that the seeds were planted and that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next with some of these kids that heard the gospel and truly understood. And so we just have to pray and ask the Lord to grow those seeds. And I am just so thankful for each one of you. And I know that this was a mission that we needed to do and that we need to continue to do. Our partnership with Faith United has been incredible, and we would like to continue that. So I'd ask that you would pray with us as we seek out the next steps of how we can reach out to our people. God commanded us to go, and Grace, I truly believe that we went. And only through his power, only through him, were we able to do anything that we did. So Grace, thank you so much, and I'm so excited that you guys are going to have an opportunity now to share about what God did in your life through BBS. So thanks, guys.
We had a pretty tearful staff meeting last week as we, different ones of us, shared testimony. I don't think any of us made it through without getting choked up, and I'm pretty surprised that Caitlin got through that without doing that. But one of the things that I said to her, and I wanted her to hear, is that what I have seen in Caitlin Pollock is a woman of great faith. And in her faith and believing God and moving forward, some of us followed her into places that made us uncomfortable. It wasn't a place that we would normally go or approach. But in the midst of that, we realized and we experienced God. To hear three different languages within about 5 minutes after I'm sitting there with my son, to see four different cultures coming together for the glory of God and to accomplish the work of God was just, it's something I will never forget and an image I will never forget. And because a woman wanted to trust God, and in trusting God, we followed her into that and we all experienced God in a unique way. Would love to give any others an opportunity. If you want to come down and share, we have the microphone right here. There's no pressure there. But we just want to open this time up. Just give a couple of minutes of anybody else that would like to testify, and then we'll close it out.
I worked in the nursery, so I wasn't fortunate enough to be with all the kids. But on Friday, when we had the block party, for those that contributed and donated shoes and food, one little boy, I was given a pair of shoes because this one little boy didn't want them. So I was holding them in my hand thinking, who can I give these shoes to? And to me, it seemed like a small thing because we are blessed with many shoes in our closet. So while they were lined up to get their food donations, and this little boy was standing there and his shoes were, I'll just say the word, ratty, falling off his feet, no shoelaces. And I was holding his shoes. Well, one boy in front, behind him, wanted them. Well, he had basically a brand new pair of shoes on. Then the boy in front of him says, do you have any 8 1/2s? So I went and looked for 8 1/2s, which I didn't have. Well, the little boy that wanted the shoes, these shoes were 3 1/2, and he wore 2 1/2. And I said, well, I think they'll be too big for you. He goes, oh, no, ma'am, I can wear those shoes. So he's kind of sat down. He struggled to get the shoes on. I said, just sit down and put your shoes on. So he finally did. He goes, see, he stood up. They fit me. And I reached down and touched his foot. I said, yes, they do. And now they're yours. And he was just so excited. It seemed like a small thing to most of us. But thinking about the shoes for orphan souls that Judy is highly involved in, that was just such a blessing to know that we were able, I don't know who donated those little black Nike shoes, but whomever did, they were a blessing, and we went and gave him a pair of socks, and he had his old ones hanging on his shoulder, but he wore those proudly. So I really thank you all for being a part of that, and I was glad that I was able to be a part of that just to see that one day that I was able to do that. So thank you.
Oh, okay, we got some making it down from up top, so that's very good. And I will share, too, just while Pam's making her way down. I know a lot of folks, part of the reason we're doing this is we saw a lot of great stories coming up on Facebook all the time. And the coolest thing about all this is it wasn't a lot of talk of what we as a church did. And it's all also in this closed group where we're not trying to say, look at us, world, look what we've done. But what I kept hearing from people every time is, God is doing something. He's doing something in my heart. I see him doing these things in these kids, not tooting our own horn of all these wonderful things that we've done. But it was people allowing God to use them and seeing new opportunities. And so that's been the great joy here. And that's kind of the story I want to hear. So I'll let you share for a minute there as well, Pam.
Well, you know I don't like being down here speaking, but this story just, I was able to share it at a LifeSpring board meeting this week because there's something about catching a vision. And it's hard to catch a vision if you haven't walked those shoes. And I've been on the board for LifeSpring for a long time, and I thought I had the vision, but I didn't. I worked the registration table, and it was crazy. I mean, we were trying to interpret languages and spell names right, and names I'd never heard before, and get them written down correctly, and there was no organization at times, and I think it was the third night the bus came, and it came a little bit later than normal, and I was counting the children coming off the bus. Well, when that bus left, I went over to the registration tables, and it was chaos. And there was this little boy that I had met the night, maybe the first night, I can't remember. His name was Cantrell, and he was panicking. It wasn't like... He was afraid. And I finally said to him, I said, "It's okay, what's going on?" He goes, you know me, I need my name tag, you've got it, give me my name tag. And I'm like, Cantrell, and it dawned on me. I said, "It's okay, you're not late, you're still going to get your meal, and you're still going to get to participate." And he goes, "I'm not late?" And I said, "No, it's going to be okay." And you know what? He was fine. And it just occurred to me, that's the vision. Those children, maybe he didn't know where his next meal was coming. Maybe he only gets one meal a day. Maybe he was afraid he wasn't going to get to participate. But whatever it was, when he found out it was going to be okay, he changed. And that's what God can do.
Give it a quick look around. Our kind of hashtag, what we put out there on Twitter all the time, is this hashtag Become Grace. And I have tried to teach and to talk about what that means and what we're trying to do. And the reason I wanted to give a few minutes here, and what we'll give some other opportunities in the future, and I encourage you to check out Facebook and just read some of the different posts of what God was doing in people's lives. But the reason I wanted just to have just a few minutes in here to share is because while I can talk about what it means to become grace, we've just experienced that, a lot of folks at this mega sports camp. And, you know, who would have thought that it could have been something so powerful that the Lord was doing in our lives, that he allowed us to be grace to one another and within our community, that his grace has gone out. And so that's who we want to be as a church. And that is who we will be as a church. So with that, I think you understand Become Grace, and we're getting more of an idea of what it means to go. And so, Grace, it is time to go.